the scripture we're going to look at is Luke chapter 4, verse 38. And it says this about Jesus. Jesus arose and left the synagogue and entered Simon's house. Now, Simon's mother-in-law was ill with a high fever, and they appealed to him on her behalf. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she rose and began to serve them. Now, when the sun was setting, all those who had any sick or with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And demons came out of many, crying, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak, because they knew that he was the Christ. When it was day, he departed and went to a desolate place, and the people sought him and came to him. They would have kept him from leaving, but he said to them, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose." And he was preaching in the synagogues of Judea. So a few things I think I want to just draw out of this passage to help us lay a fresh foundation to make sure we're on the same page in this issue of healing. Firstly, why is praying for the sick so important, and who can do it? From this passage we see, and through the whole of the Gospels, that Jesus not only practiced and demonstrated healing for the sick, and prayer for the sick and ministry to the sick through his ministry, he also commanded his followers to do the same thing. Matthew 10 would be a great example. "Proclaim this message," Jesus told his followers, "the kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who've got leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give." And it's my contention that no local church can be satisfied until we see all of those things. Until we see people set free, the oppressed set free, the sick healed, the dead raised. I know some of you skeptics will think you're crazy. We are going to see it in this town, I'm telling you. And until we see those things, we have not given this town a true demonstration that the gospel we preach is true. How else will they know that what we say is true? It's such a crazy message that a man 2,000 years ago died for our sins and raised from the dead. It's insane. Unless we can demonstrate it with signs and wonders following. That is the biblical model, and that is the model that we're going after. 1 Corinthians 2 says this, and this is what Paul grabbed hold of and ran with. "For I decided to know nothing among you Corinthians except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith might not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God." You see, the model that Jesus set was that healing for the sick was to be part of the proclamation of the kingdom coming. That when God's kingdom comes, healing comes to broken bodies. Whereas it says in Scripture that death came into the world through sin, so healing comes through the kingdom of God as Christ sets us free from sin and disease. And so what we've got to be aware of is that this ministry is not just for the few, but for all of us. That throughout church history, there have been a few who have prayed for the sick and seen them healed. But God is commissioning now whole churches to rise up as a corporate faith. You know, it says of Nazareth that Jesus could not do many miracles there because of their unbelief. And I want to contend for a place where Jesus can do many, many miracles because of a corporate faith. And it's not just about the person who's sick or the individual who's praying. It's about creating an atmosphere of faith. Around. Are you guys looking at me blankly? Are you with me on this? Just otherwise I shall keep going on this point until I'm sure that you're convinced. I want us to be convinced that this is all of us, that we can all play the part. We all have the same spirit in us. And Jesus, in fact, said, he who believes in me, he said, greater things will he do because I'm going to the Father. Jesus did not want to keep this to himself. His role was to introduce a lifestyle onto this planet that could be replicated across not just a few, but across billions of people, so that this planet will be turned around for his glory. And so that's what we're going after. This is not just about me praying for the sick because this is my particular passion. And I know already at the size that we're getting as a church, people are getting frustrated. They want me to come and pray for them or for their relatives. And to be honest, I just can't do it. I just do not have the hours in the day to pray for anyone, for everyone in the church, to pray for anyone. Not quite right. But to pray for everyone, I just don't have the hours in the day. I can pray for a few here and there. But even if I could, it wouldn't be my heart. Our heart as a leadership is that we all get raised up to do this, not just a few. In fact, some of our most extraordinary miracles that we've seen, I've been nowhere near. For example, we had one, and we've just so many that I could tell. But there was one we had on one Sunday, and there was a word of knowledge given for someone with knee pain. And a girl responded and came forward. It was her second time in church. She came forward and she had chronic pain in her knees. And as she came forward, the lady who came to pray for her said to her, "I just felt the Lord saying, the problem isn't with your knees, with it, it's with your feet." And she said, "Yes, it is. You're right, it is with my feet. I've got completely flat feet. They're completely flat to the floor. And that's why my knees turn in and I've got chronic knee pain. And there's not much I can do about it because of my flat feet." And so the lady said, "Well, let's pray then for your feet." And so as they prayed, her feet, arches grew in her feet. So she left this building. She came in with flat feet, like that guy was saying. Now, once she was blind, now she can see. She came in with flat feet and she walked out with perfectly formed arches. That is incredible. That is miraculous. Only God can do something like that. These guys over here didn't quite get it. That she walked out with arches in her feet. It's impossible. God can do stuff like this, and it's through the little old me's and the little old you's as we step up to the plate and say, "God, if you can do the stuff in Brazil, you can do the same stuff here. You are no respecter of persons or places. You're going to do the same stuff here." What is the role of faith? Notice in these stories we read, the source of faith varies. So in one, it was the people around Peter's mother-in-law who had faith. In another, it was either the individuals who were coming for prayer or the individuals who brought them. You see elsewhere in Scripture, it was Jesus himself had faith, or the disciples who had faith. It seemed to vary. What's critical that we understand is that faith is important in this thing. It doesn't matter necessarily who has the faith. Sometimes it's the people who bring them. Sometimes it's the person who's sick. Sometimes it's the person praying. But faith is critical in this whole thing of praying for the sick. Jesus was looking for faith. He commended faith. And when he saw it, but you know what? He can use even minuscule faith, even the smallest amount of faith. And that will be our story. You can grow in faith. You might think, "Oh, my faith for praying for the sick is tiny. It's minuscule. It's pathetic." That's where I was. You know, Jesus said to the disciples that sometimes they had little faith. You know, I had, you know, what's, you know, the smallest particle? I had proton-sized faith. You know, it was just ridiculous how little faith I had. And even after I would preach on healing for the sick, you know, I told a story one time about a whole family of six who were healed of food intolerances. One night, they all had gluten and wheat and milk allergies, and the whole family got healed in the same night. They went to Pizza Hut and proved that they were healed, and had pizza at Pizza Hut, you know, and obviously and the health issues there as well. But anyway, they had pizza, had a great night, and they were all healed. And I told that story, and afterwards a lady came up to me and said, "I've got food intolerances, will you pray for me? It really messes up my life." And my thought inside was, why does someone have to ruin a great story by asking me to do the same thing? That honestly was my thought. That why does someone have to ruin such a great story? It was a great moment. It was preached so well. But now you're trying to make me do the same thing. And she said afterwards, she said, "Your face was not a face of faith. It was a face of utter fear." And it was how I felt. But anyway, I prayed a summary prayer, made it very quick. Tried to get out there as fast as I could. Next week, she came back to me. And I was expecting her to say, "Nothing's happened." She said, "I've eaten stuff this week that I've never eaten before, or not for years. God has totally transformed me." And she's still good. Her diet has been completely transformed. So God can use your minuscule faith if you'll just step up and do what he said, heal the sick. Step up to the plate. We're all called to that. Caroline, my wife, was telling me this week, she was at the gym. There was a lady there who was in severe ankle pain, had just done an injury in the gym, and was, as Caroline knew her a little bit, and clearly she was in a lot of pain, and she asked the lady, "How bad is it?" And the lady said, "It's 10, it's about a 10. Caroline said, "Can I pray for her?" She said, "Sure, I'd love you to," which was surprising in the gym, but there you go, some people are open. So she prayed for her, nothing happened. She prayed again, the lady said, "Wow, that's amazing." She said, "How bad out of 10 is it now?" She said, "It's about a 3. She said, "Let's pray again." Went down to a 2. And this lady was just blown away that someone would take a moment. And do you know what Caroline said to me today, which I thought was intriguing to the journey of faith that we've been on? Because I remember when we, 4 years ago, said to the church, "We're going to go for 30 miracles on the streets," and everyone took a sharp intake of breath. And now, 4 years later, 3 or 4 years later, there's been such a change. Caroline said, "Do you know what? When I pray for people on the streets now, I am surprised when they don't get healed." And I thought, actually, do you know what? I feel like I'm in the same place, actually. Something's changed in our heart. So you can grow in faith, no matter how minuscule your faith is. The critical thing is you must never, and we must never, ever tell somebody that it's their lack of faith that's the reason that they're not healed. That is toxic, toxic stuff. Even if it were true, it would be more damaging to tell them. It doesn't give anyone any more faith to tell them that. Let's not create a community where we're telling each other it was your lack of faith you got healed. That goes on in churches and it's horrible and we must steer well away from it. Even if it were true, I would never tell someone. Even if I suspected, even if I know for sure that was true, I would never tell anybody that because it's just toxic, horrible stuff. Let's stay away from that. We want to create an atmosphere of faith, but equally we want to love people no matter where their faith is for. Are you with me on this? Turn to the person next to you and say this to them. If you tell someone that their lack of faith is the reason they're not healed, you might need healing yourself if Simon ever finds out. I'm serious about this, guys. It will kill the very thing we're going after if we create that atmosphere. The third thing I want to just bring out of this is this question, what can be healed? It says in the passage that we read, it says there's various diseases. But elsewhere, Matthew 4 says this, Jesus went through all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. Psalm 103 says this, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and who heals all your diseases. It's the same language that's used for forgiving all your sins. If you believe Jesus can forgive all your sins, then it's the same language, that's exactly the same language in the same passage that's used when he says he can also heal all of your diseases. Mark 9:23, a father had come to Jesus and said, if you can heal my son, if you can help us, do something. And Jesus said this to him, if you can, all things are possible for the one who believes. The point is this, nothing is beyond the power of Christ to set people free. Nothing is beyond the power of Christ to do. There is no disease on this planet that he cannot set people free from. And we've heard all sorts of stories. Probably the most amazing story I heard this week was a guy called Leif Hetland, who travels across the world, largely in the Muslim world. And he told this story of when he was back home in Alabama. He was there at the end of a meeting. It was like 9:30 at night. He was tired. He'd prayed for numerous numbers of people. And there was a girl there called Renee who was paralyzed from the neck down. And she indicated that she would also like prayer. And he said, my faith, which I was absolutely dog tired. And he said, my faith was just so low. He said, because I'd seen the paralyzed walk in India, but I'd never seen it in the West. I'd never seen it in America. And so he just said, gosh, you know, I just couldn't stomach the disappointment this girl was about to go through. But he said, anyway, she'd indicated that she wanted prayer. And so I went to pray for her. He said, what made it worse is she told me all the famous people who'd prayed for her to be healed, and she still hadn't been healed. So he said, not only was my faith low, her faith was very, very low. But she had enough faith, he said, to ask for prayer. So he said, I asked her, what would you like prayer for? Expecting Renee to say, you know, she'd been paralyzed for about 5 years because she was in a car wreck. So the whole church knew about her. And it was getting late, and so numbers of people had left, but there were still some people there. And he said, what would you like prayer for? And he was expecting us to say, I would like to walk, I'd like to dance, you know, I'd like to have my... I mean, she was paralyzed from the neck down, so she had no feeling anywhere. But she said that he had been preaching that night on the orphan heart. He'd been preaching on that night on those that hear about the love of God but can never really feel it in their heart, you know? Many of us have been in that place, that hear the truth up here, but never really encounter the love of God. So he'd been preaching that as a child of God, as a Christian, you can be free from that orphan spirit and you can know the love of God in your heart. And so when he went up to her and said, what do you want prayer for? She said, I want my orphan heart healed. And he said, I just melted. And he said, sure, I can pray for you for that. And so he said, he just put his arms around her and just began to pray, Lord, pour in your love into Renee. Let her experience the love of God shed abroad in your heart like you've promised in your word. And just began to pour and pray the love of God into her, just like as Jesus just began to minister to her and melt her orphan spirit, her orphan heart. And so as he did that, as he got to him, he felt faith rising in his heart. And so he said to her, look, Renee, let's pray. I feel like the Lord wants us to pray for a sign that you will walk again. Well, and so he said, what would be a good sign for us two together tonight? What could we pray for? And they agreed together that if she could see one finger move an inch, that would be a good sign. That's about as much faith as they had together for her that evening. And if they could have that, she would go home satisfied that God was going to do something. So anyway, they begin to pray. They pray once, nothing happens. They pray a second time, then nothing happens. They pray a third time, and her hand begins to shake, to vibrate. And he said, at that moment, all thought of going home went out of my mind. All thought of leaving went out of my head as her hand began to shake. And parents were kind of wanting to leave, and the kids were saying, we want to stay here. We want to see Renee healed. And so he said the ministry team was 4, 5, 6-year-olds who were gathered around praying with him for this girl. And so he said first her left hand began to shake, then her right hand began to shake. He said, and then I got her, because her hands were obviously down, I got her to see if she could raise her hands, which she could. And then he said when her hands raised above her head, the whole place just exploded. Just was electric. It was like heaven just opened. And so he said what happened was people started getting on their cell phones, because most people had gone home, and they started calling people back. People started coming back to the meeting. He said there was at least one story of people leaving their food in the restaurant, because Americans like to go out after meetings, leaving their food in the restaurant, throwing the money on the table and just literally driving back to the church, because everyone knew this girl and wanted to see this happen. So everyone gets back, starts to gather and they pray. And he said it was an hour and 45 minutes we prayed for her. And at the end of an hour and 45 minutes, she said, I want to stand. She stood up, took a few steps, and then took off running around the building. And ran around the building. And God had totally set her free. A paralyzed girl walking. And he said, this was 3 years ago this happened. Last year, she came with him, I think it was to Colombia, on a missions trip to South America. She's walking, she's completely fine. Everything has been restored. So nothing is beyond his power to heal. Does everyone get healed? Certainly, if Jesus prayed for you, everyone got healed in his day. And it's still his day. But we don't yet see that full expression of healing. We don't see everyone that we pray for healed. But what I've learned is this: the more we pray for, the more get healed. And the more we contend for certain areas, like we regularly see backs and necks and aches and pains, we regularly see that stuff healed. We've seen a few deaf ears open. We've seen in this town one lady who was 96% blind. We've seen her see again. But apart from that, there's areas that we're pressing for breakthrough, and there's areas that we're seeing regular and systematic breakthrough. I don't know why it works like that. I think it just grows with our faith as a community together. We're creating an atmosphere. We've lived for generations in this nation with unbelief and skepticism, and I believe we're fighting for something here to create an island of faith. Not just here, but many other churches, I'm sure, in the UK are going for it as well. But particularly, I feel like the Lord has called us to do this. I don't know why it works like this. I remember Heidi Baker tells a story in Mozambique. Randy Clark had prophesied over her that she would see the blind see. So she went back to Mozambique, which has, I think, more blind people than any other nation on the planet. I heard a statistic one time. Just because of the war and because of the malnutrition, they have just blind people all over the place. And so she went back, and after having received a prophetic word, a powerful encounter with God, that she would see the blind see, she prayed for them. She prayed for every blind person that she met, which in Mozambique is a lot of blind people. She prayed for everyone for a year before she saw one. Every blind person she met, she prayed for a year. At the end of a year, she saw three blind ladies open their eyes on the same day. Nothing for a year, and then suddenly the breakthrough. And now in Mozambique, they see the blind see all the time. It's just something broke through, and now it becomes a regular occurrence. What was interesting is that all three women who saw on the same day had the same name, Ada, and that name in Portuguese, I think, means the same as Heidi's name. So they had the same name as her, effectively, on the same day. So what can be healed? God can heal anything that he wants to. Now, of course, there is a time to die. There is a time that Ecclesiastes 3 says there's a time to die. Some diseases and sicknesses end in death. But if it is not your time to die, then to me it's open season. If you're still breathing and you still want prayer, then we would encourage and urge people to pray. You know, we don't shove this down people's throats. We don't expect those that don't want prayer to want prayer and receive prayer. That's fine. If people don't want prayer, that's fine. We want to love people and leave them loved, not leave people feeling like we're shoving it down their throats. But at the same point, we want to encourage those that want to receive prayer to do so. What's the method of healing? Just the fourth thing. I want to lay again a foundation. Some of you would have heard these things before, but I want to lay a foundation for the next level. What's the method of healing? This was an instantaneous healing that we saw here in this passage that we read, but it's not always the case. Jesus himself even prayed for someone twice to see them healed, to lay hands on the sick. In fact, Jesus said this, you will lay hands on the sick and you will see them recover. So it can be a gradual thing. A recovery is a gradual thing. We often want the miraculous, the instantaneous, but Jesus said you'll lay hands on the sick and you'll see them recover. And so we must not give up. If we think that God isn't doing something, then we so often are fooling ourselves, because so often he works through the secret, through the silent, and it's often a recovery place. I don't know about you, sometimes when I pray for people and afterwards, you know, have you feel anything, are you any better, they say no. Often I get discouraged, my faith drops at that point. But actually our faith should remain high throughout the experience of praying for someone. The reason is this, Randy Clark, and I asked him this and he made mention of this, said this, 50% of people that they pray for, and they pray for and see a lot of people healed, but 50% of the people that they pray for feel absolutely nothing. That's the people who are healed. 50% of them feel absolutely nothing. And so we've got to be aware that when we're praying for people, if they feel nothing, not to be discouraged, not to let our heads drop, but to keep pressing in and going after it. John G. Lake used to say this. He said, they come to me and say that God doesn't want to heal the sick. We pray for people for 20 days straight sometimes before we see healing break into people's lives. They told a great story on this conference of a lady who prayed for a guy who had been blind since the age of 5. He had acid in an accident splashed on his eyes, and so he had no, his cornea had been completely destroyed. His eyes were completely white. He had no pupils, none of the iris around the eye, just completely white. And she prayed for this guy for 5.5 straight hours. And he was encouraged and wanted her to keep praying. But throughout the whole thing, he felt nothing and she felt nothing. 5.5 hours. She went away discouraged. But 3 days later, they left that town. 3 days later, they had a call from the pastor of this guy's church. And he said, you'll never guess what. This morning, this guy woke up and he had brand new eyeballs. His eye was completely restored, and now he can see perfectly, as you would if he had new eyeballs. So don't be discouraged. We've got to keep pressing in. And a prayer model that we like to use, which I would encourage us all to use, you can see in your notes, a 5-step prayer model. It's not the only model. It's just a helpful model. Firstly, the interview. Ask people what's wrong with them. Listen to what they're saying, but listen with both ears. What I mean by that is listen with one ear to what they're saying, but also one ear to what the Holy Spirit is saying. Listen to what he's indicating might be the area that he wants you to pray for. It's not a medical interview, but ask, what's the problem? How much pain are you in right now? When did it start? Ask if there's anything notable that happened in the 6 months prior to it starting. Sometimes trauma affects our bodies in a way that we don't experience straight away, and that we don't experience the difficulty until later. So ask about what happened around the time that they got sick. Secondly, the diagnosis, to discern what's the root cause of this. Sometimes people's conditions start with a tragedy. Sometimes it's simply they've just violated God's law for how we're to look after our body. Sometimes it's a spiritual thing. You know, doctors recognize psychosomatic, they recognize psychological, they recognize physical ailments. They don't necessarily so much recognize the spiritual causes. As a church, we need to be recognizing all three of those. That we recognize that things, that physical effects can come from many different places. Sometimes it could be sin in their life. It could be any one of those things. It could be none of them. It could just be an organic issue with the body. And we've got to be gracious as we ask questions. You know, so instead of saying, have you forgiven your father? If something like that might come up, because unforgiveness is a huge barrier to healing. Have you forgiven your father? You can say, look, I'm just getting the sense that you might need some forgiveness towards your father. You know, does that make any sense to you? It's just a way that we can love people and leave them feeling loved. Thirdly, the prayer selection. Choose the kind of prayer you're going to pray. If you're like me, you probably go for all of them, the shotgun approach. Just go at it. Just do whatever you can and pray all of them. My preference is the prayer of command, to speak to the sickness, to speak to the pain, to tell it to leave. There's nothing wrong with the prayer of petition, which is to ask the Father to heal. There's nothing wrong with that. But I prefer the prayer of command, particularly when praying for unbelievers. And the reason that is because when you pray for the sick and you use the prayer of command, firstly, it was the prayer that Jesus most used. He commanded sickness. In fact, he told the disciples, don't pray for the sick. He didn't say to them, pray for the sick. He said, heal the sick. You know, so it was very much they were doing it. And when you do that, when you command the sickness to leave, what it's like is that I'm coming alongside this person and say, Mike, for example, he's got a bad knee, and I tell his knee to get better and I tell the pain to leave. If Mike is not healed at the end of it, very often he will be, particularly out on the streets, it seems, but if he's not healed at the end of it, it doesn't leave him with a barrier between him and God. Because I can just say, look, Mike, if Jesus were here, you'd definitely be healed. I'm not operating at that same level quite yet, and I'm still going after it. I'd love to pray again if you want to come to church. You know, I can put the blame on me. I'd rather do that than leave Mike with a feeling that there's a reluctant deity, a reluctant God who really didn't want to heal him, however much we appealed to him. I'd rather take the blame on myself, because I'm sure the problem is probably with me anyway. And so I use that prayer most often, and I would encourage you to do the same. But that's to say, there's nothing wrong with asking God to heal as well. Some preliminaries before you pray. Walk through forgiveness, if there's forgiveness to be done. Obviously, on the streets, as you're in the workplace, this is, some of these steps aren't appropriate. You just got to get in there, pray for them, and see what happens. But when you're in a church, a small group setting, then leading people to repent from sin, getting them in a position to receive. Be careful where you put hands on people. Guys, be particularly, if you do happen to be praying for a lady, I'd urge you to do that only with another lady present. But don't put your hands on her stomach, even if it's a stomach issue. Get her to put, if you feel like, no, I want to lay hands, laying hands is important, but get her to put her hand there first, and then you put your hand on top of her hand. It's too intimate otherwise. It's too private and personal. And so be careful where you lay your hands, and use mints, because your breath might stink. They probably won't tell you. And then pray short prayers. This is the fourth step. Pray short prayers. Don't pray, you know, for since they were, you know, pray through their life or your life or every person in China. You know, just pray. I've heard it. Just pray short prayers, 30 to 60 seconds. Look for what the Holy Spirit is doing. Keep your eyes open. If they feel anything, ask them if they feel anything. If you sense what's going on, ask them if they sense the same thing going on. They don't have to feel anything, but if they feel any better, even if it's 10% better, I'd encourage them to celebrate and you to celebrate with them. Because, you know, you can't heal a gnat on your own unless you feel like you can. But most of us recognize we can't heal anything, you know, but it's as we engage with God, and even the smallest improvement is a miracle. Even a 10% is a miracle. And so it's as we see that we can celebrate with the Lord and thank him for what he's doing. If the pain gets worse, or even if it moves, so often that can be an indicator there's a spiritual cause. And you might need to pray more into the spiritual side of things. And then lastly, post-prayer directions. Never blame the person, but if they're not healed, you can give them some scriptures to meditate on them. You can't guarantee that someone's going to get healed, but you can guarantee that you love them. You can guarantee that you give them love and leave them feeling loved and honored and celebrated by God. Make sure people don't need to go for emotional healing once you've prayed for their physical healing. You know, don't leave them feeling raw and ruined, but instead leave them feeling built up and treasured and loved by you and loved by God. Finally, and I want to just take a moment to pray, a few questions, and the probably the biggest one is this: why are some people not healed? And I have asked people who've written books on this subject. I asked Randy Clark the same question. I asked his associate the same question, and they all have the same answer as me, and it's this: I don't know. I do not know. And you know what? I stopped praying for the sick for about 10 years because of that answer, because I was not satisfied with that answer. Because I thought that God owed me that an answer to why some aren't healed. I thought that God owed me an explanation. But you know what? It was when I realized that God doesn't owe me anything. It's when I realized that, I'll chat to you at the end, Eddie, if that's okay. It's when I realized that God doesn't owe me an answer, and that I don't know is a satisfactory answer for me. That I can settle with that answer because I'm not God and he is. And all I've got to do is do what he's asked me to do, which is to pray for the sick and to see the sick healed and to see his kingdom extended. As I do that, as I walk in that faithfully, day in, day out, whenever I get the opportunity, then God is gracious to work and to move through me. And I would encourage you to come to the same place. And I know in this issue of healing, there are so many who have disappointments, who have discouragements, and it's right to go to the Lord and to express the pain that you feel, particularly if you've had a loved one who's not been healed over many years, particularly if you've had someone that you care for who's died. You need to go to the Lord and express that pain without blaming God, because he can't do any wrong, but without blaming him, to go to him to express that pain, but at the same time to settle your heart with an answer of I don't know. I believe is the only place that we can go. Healing is a mystery. You know, I don't know why we don't always break through. One thing I do know is that if every person that I prayed for got healed, I'm not sure I could handle that, actually. I'm not sure. If you think about it, if every person with cancer, every person with AIDS, every person that you ever touched got healed, I'm not sure that you could handle that or I could handle that. And I wonder if that's something of the answer of why God uses a community, why sometimes he uses a six-year-old child and another time he uses the person who's preaching, why he uses a community to do it, because I'm not sure we're up to handling the profile. You would have every newspaper on your door within 3 weeks. And who could handle that pressure? I don't know that we're ready for that. So that might be part of the explanation. I don't know what the answer is. All I know is that the more we pray for as a community, the more we create an atmosphere of faith here, the more we are going to see extraordinary miracles. And we're going to see the oppressed set free and the broken, the paralyzed walking, the blind seeing, the deaf hearing. So much so we've had people who have had dreams of people queuing up outside of our building to be prayed for. And I believe that we're going to see events like that in the coming days, that God is wanting to move in our nation. He's wanting to demonstrate to our secular, skeptical nation that he is on the move, that Jesus Christ is alive today, and that his kingdom is advancing one life at a time. That's where I believe we're going. Our motivation for this should be love for people and love for Christ. It's not about making a name for ourselves. It's not about, I love the fact that so many of those work that evening there, the words of knowledge that were talked about on that evening were given by people who had never given words of knowledge before. That lady who said, I responded to a word of knowledge about someone with a cast. The team members, Randy told the story that when they were driving on the bus to that event, he asked the team who were on the bus, how many of you have prayed for the sick before? And about three people put their hands up. How many of you have given a word of knowledge public before? About five people put their hands up. And he thought to himself, oh my goodness, this is my team. And yet, over those few days, people who'd never stepped out before, who'd never prayed for the sick, who'd never given a word of knowledge before, came into an atmosphere of faith and expectancy and delivered words of knowledge that set people free in a breathtaking way, as we saw. And I believe that it's as the little old me's, like you and me, step up to the plate, pray on a Sunday, pray in our small groups, pray in our workplaces, pray on the streets. As we do that, something extraordinary is going to happen in this town. And it already is. It already is.